Hey, what's up, everyone? This is DJ Desert Rose, and you are now listening to Drawing the Line. It is Monday, September 25th. And quick disclaimer, I only give advice on careers, family, relationships, just, you know, nothing medical or legal, because I'm not in those fields whatsoever. So if you have, like, any legal advice, best to talk to a lawyer. And if you have any medical advice, best to call 911. Now, on my last show, I did say we were going to talk more about codependent relationships. And we are, sort of, but today we're going to do it a little bit differently. Why? Because I have a guest with me. Joining me now is my very good friend, Allie. Say hi, Allie.
Hello.
Oh, yep, I can hear you. Who just recently graduated the BA from UCSC, I might add. So,
Thank you.
It's very nice. So, Allie is here to... The whole point of the show today is to talk about healthy relationships versus unhealthy relationships. And I think we actually both think it's a very important issue to talk about, because every single day, thousands of women find themselves in abusive and controlling relationships. And we're also going to talk about the signs. And Allie here is going to share her experiences with it, because she has a lot to say.
Thank you, Julian.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then what you're going to do is you're just going to talk about your experiences. Feel free to add in or comment whatever you want. If there's something too personal or, like, whatever, you don't have to share that. So, yeah, if you also want to, like, add something in, obviously, like, relating to what the show is about, feel free to speak up.
Oh, I will.
All right, so, Allie, so you've been in two not very ideal relationships that started off pretty well, but then kind of hit a mountain, so to speak.
That's definitely true.
So, when you met your first boyfriend, like, what was he like? Like, what exactly drew you to him?
Well, my first real boyfriend, I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, wow.
14 years old. A little young. Maybe a little too young now that I think about it. But what can I say? I was 14, I was boy crazy. I just went to high school. Everyone looked cute to me. It was just kind of the thing. You know, when you're in middle school, there's just holding hands and that's my boyfriend. And you call them on the phone. But this was something a lot different. And it kind of made a really big impact on my life. So it was freshman year of high school. He was very handsome, with tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. Ugh, he was so hot.
Tall, blonde, and handsome.
Oh, yes. Very handsome. He was very charming.
Or just tall, blonde, and cranky.
Well, that was most of the time, yes.
Most of the time, he was tall, blonde, and cranky.
Yeah, he definitely had his stick up there. He needed to let loose sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was there for. But... anyways, I was really into his humor and his bad boy persona, and it was just, and he was just the type of person that played pranks on people and just really did not give a crap about what people thought or anything, and that to me was just so attractive that he was just his own persona. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, we were hanging out for 2 months, and then we made it official that he was my boyfriend. But neither did I know that it was actually a real boyfriend that lasted 4-year relationship.
Wow, so you were 14 years old when you started. And, like, where did you meet him again?
Met him at school.
Oh, yeah, so San Marin High.
That's at San Marin High. Yeah, oh, wow. Sorry.
Like, did you meet him through anybody, or, like, did you have a class together?
He was a year older than me, a grade higher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how I met him, but I think one of his friends had a crush on my friend, and we were hanging out in the same lunch area, and we just started flirting.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a high school reality show, honestly.
Oh, that was San Marin.
Oh, boy. Okay, so when did the relationship really start to take its toll on you? Like, when did you start realizing... you know, I'm not so sure about this anymore.
This is a difficult question.
I understand.
Because I was so young that I had no idea how to process anything, and it's just what I thought was normal for a first relationship, and just to really understand how a relationship is supposed to be. And when you're so young, you have your hormones are just flying out, and when you're 14, 15, you don't know how to control them very well.
No, and also at 14 or 15 years old, because the brain isn't fully developed, you don't really use good judgment.
Exactly, and that's why he was a very controlling boyfriend.
Well, like, what kind of stuff did he do?
And
ladies, pay attention.
For example...
Oh, guys, too.
Well, one of his big things was if I wore a tank top.
Uh-huh.
For example, he goes, oh my God, you're showing too much skin. I don't want other guys looking at you. You can't wear stuff like that. I don't like you wearing tight jeans. I don't want you to wear certain kinds of underwear. It's just very controlling in the way. It was like he wanted me to be hot and sexy, but for him only.
So he wanted you to be hot. Yeah, he wanted you to be hot and sexy, but it was like...
His eyes
only. Yeah, his eyes only. And it was like when he wanted you to be that way, he was forbidding you to be yourself, almost.
That happened in a lot of the relationship. He almost had a double standard. It wasn't just about the clothes. If I wore a tank top, it was considered cheating. Now, for that, I had no idea. When I tried talking to him about it, we got in a really big fight. That was one of our first big fights. And it was over the phone, by the way.
Oh, fun.
It was over the phone. And my parents weren't too happy that I stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
But little did I know. Still, it was just a really big fight and yelling, and I just didn't understand. And he just was very insecure with the fact that other guys found me attractive or that people would flirt with me. And then later on became the, oh, don't talk to any guys, period. I'm like, what? What do you mean? You know my friends? Oh, no, but you can talk to my friends because they're guys. But you can't talk to my friend or your own friends that are guys. I'm like, what?
That doesn't really make any sense. I'm just going to say something. I want to add something to that. That really doesn't make any sense because, you know, a guy is a guy. I mean, why should it matter if you're talking to your guy friends versus to why you're talking to his guy friends? I mean, if he was afraid that your guy friends would, you know, start flirting with you, I mean, wouldn't the same kind of go for his guy friends?
Yeah, it got even worse than that, though.
Really?
To the fact that, okay, for someone I used to date in middle school. Well, middle school. Okay, we're in class together, and we're doing a project, and he walked by my classroom and saw that I was working with someone that was my friend, a guy, and we're talking and doing a project. He got really mad at me for talking to a guy. I'm like, I'm sorry, we're working on a project, and we were assigned partners. And he just flipped out. He's like, oh, no, you can't even ask him for a pencil. So this kind of thing is just, like, very hypocritical, and I just really never understood that because he talked to a lot of girls, and I saw it, but I didn't ever want to bring it up because the fights were so bad.
Yeah, and I guess maybe you probably thought, oh, you know what? He's just talking to a girl. Whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
That, and I had no problem with it. I'm not an extremely jealous person. But it just kind of...
Sometimes a little jealousy is good, but you don't want to, like... You don't want to be... Actually, how do I want to say this? A little jealousy is okay. That's fine. That's totally...
Normal.
Yeah, thank you. It's totally normal. But you don't want to be all like, why are you talking to her? You can't be talking to her. I'm the only girl that you're allowed to look at. And blah, 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 blah. Like, you can't do that because that actually ends up... And I'm sure you probably felt this way. That actually ends up pushing... When you do that, that ends up pushing the other person away. Because, hey, they're not going to want to deal with that.
Well, he was my first love. And he was my first with everything in high school. First love, first boy, first everything.
First everything. Yeah, first everything.
So it was just really hard for me because I was so attached and so into it
well,
that
you know
I
what?
Just went with everything.
Well, you know what? Because it was your first actual, like, real boyfriend, the first in everything, it's completely understandable why you found it really hard to handle things and why you got so attached. It's completely understandable.
I had no idea how to process anything, so I just kind of kept things to myself. And then my mom noticed a change in my behavior, and I kind of went crazy. And I was 14, and he was 16. And he had a lot more freedoms than I had. One, his mom worked. So he did a lot of his things on his own. And I always had to go back home. My mom picked me up. I went to tutoring. I went to dance. And I was very tied to my mom's schedule. Mm-hmm. And he got irritated that I couldn't just go out after school. And so I started fighting with my family, saying, I demand more freedoms. I want to be more independent. And they're like, well, he's 16, you're 14. There's a big difference. I'm like, no, there isn't.
Well, it's so only 2 years.
There, as of, like, maturity, as of independence level, it is kind of
yeah, no, it different. Definitely is. It definitely is. I mean, 2 years, when you think about it, like, 2 years, a two-year difference in a relationship really isn't a lot. But also, when you think about it, it's like, you know, the other person, the older person, could have more experience with, you know, independence or this or that. And a 14-year-old really doesn't have that much experience, especially with independence.
Exactly. Like, given 14, you know, I wanted to have as much as my boyfriend did. But I didn't get that, and it put a strain, because he had a lot more freedoms than I did. But I didn't realize that all this wasn't normal, I guess, until it was year and a half into the relationship, like sophomore, junior year of high school, mm-hmm. until I realized that this is actually not right and I don't agree with this. So then we had other talks, and then he's like, okay, fine, you guess you can wear a tank top or whatever.
You know, I'm sorry, but it should not be a matter of, oh, okay, I guess you can wear a tank top. You know, you should be able to wear whatever you want, you know, provided that, you know, you're not, like, falling out of your shirt or, like, falling out of your skirt, you know?
No, it's not like I'm running around naked or something. People are like, look at me, I'm free, you know?
Exactly.
No, it's just a tank top. And I remember one time I was driving by his house and I saw him outside without a shirt on. I have no problem with it, but because he's given me so much crap about how I dress and how he cared so much about how I looked in public, that I made it such a big deal, and he thought I was the controlling one.
So, let me get this straight. Did you kind of give him a taste of his own medicine?
Basically, yes. And then I said, well, if you can do this, then I can do it too. He goes, okay, well, I guess, like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be that, like...
So he didn't like it too much.
He didn't like it at all.
So in other words, while you were giving him a taste of his own medicine, he was probably just like, babe, what are you doing? And you're like, now you know how it feels.
Yeah, it was a lot like that. And I also realized it took a toll when I stopped a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends anymore. That was another big thing. I lost a lot of my good friendships.
Well,
I didn't meet you at that time yet.
True, but you still have me.
That's true.
Okay, continue.
But anyways, it's just like a lot of my friendships were lost with a lot of people that I've known since middle school. And I guess he got jealous or thought that we'd go out and they were boy crazy, that I'd be boy crazy. And I'm, you know, he just didn't have a lot of trust. He was very insecure. And I think a lot of it was...
Why do you think he had trust issues? Like, why do you think he was so insecure?
Well, his previous girlfriend cheated on him quite a few times.
There you go.
And I just, it was that. And also, my family was different. I don't mean to be rude or anything about this, but it put a huge strain on our relationship because it was the first time I became aware of social class. Mm-hmm. That my family was brought up differently.
Well, yeah.
He has a single mom. She was a single parent with three boys. Mm-hmm. And here I am with my parents still together that are successful, and we get to go to Europe and get to travel. And he didn't like that fact, and he got really jealous and mad. He tried saying, oh, you can't go on family vacation in Europe for 3 weeks because I won't love you anymore, and try to control me, my whole family, basically, through that. And I went ballistic, and it was just really bad. And then when my family was telling this, I was hearing myself telling them, but he won't love me anymore. And I'm like, wait, that sounds ridiculous. We've been together for a year and a half or 2 years now. He should still love me no matter what.
Exactly.
And then I started realizing maybe I should be worried about what he's doing, not what I'm doing wrong. And I was always trying to change myself. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to do decisions based on what he wanted. It's like he wanted the girlfriend that was hot and social, but for him, and...
He wanted a trophy girlfriend.
Kind of, which is funny, because he liked... I think he's very conservative on that area. He liked the... as his like wife figure, he wants someone that was conservative and the good wife and someone that looks pretty and does good things for him while he can go out and do all these other things. That I realized was just funny because he ended up marrying one of my friend's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, and didn't they have a baby together?
And a second one on the way.
Oh, wow.
He only got married at 22. I'm glad I got out of that thing.
Yeah, because that, I mean, I'm not saying that it would have been you. I'm just saying that could have been you. It
could have been me.
I mean, like, I'm just going to add something. Like, what do you think it would be like for you to, let's pretend you're 22 years old. You never got a chance to go to college because you ended up getting pregnant with his.
I would have had a lot of resentment towards him. Actually, as a matter of fact, when I was getting ready senior year to look at colleges, he didn't really want me to go to college, per se.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm thinking about going to College of Marin, so you should go to College of Marin. I'm like, well, I think I kind of want to go to Santa Rosa JC. He said,
Santa Rosa JC is a very, very reputable. I mean, College of Marin is good.
He didn't want to be at a different school than me. I think he wanted to keep an eye out. I don't know. The whole thing was possessive.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have a little bit of a sarcastic moment here. Why doesn't he just put a homing device on you? Seriously, just put an ankle bracelet on you and just GPS you all the way.
Wasn't too far from it. It was a very short leash. It was like a dog.
Oh, that was one short leash.
Very. And I guess I realized everything kind of, well, since he graduated a year before me,
mm-hmm.
I had senior year to myself with connecting with my friends again and hanging out and going to parties.
That actually must have been really nice.
It was really nice not to worry about him being there and sneaking by my classrooms and sending me really negative notes. I felt a lot more freedom. And then we were talking about after I graduated high school to go to Europe together because he has family in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went for 3 weeks and all he wanted to do.
So he went to Paris with you?
Yes, he went to Paris with me and then we went to Spain. It was 3 weeks.
Well, he should consider him lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's a big trip.
And it was a big step in the relationship. And I understand he wanted to see his family. We had the moments. But we went before his mom and his brothers came. So we had our own time in Paris to ourselves for a whole, like, 4 days. But all he wanted to do was really just sit around. He didn't really, I understand socializing with his great-grandmother, but we had a lot of time. But I wanted to go out at night, I wanted to see the city, and he didn't really want to see very many things, and it was just kind of realizing, wow, I think we're kind of different. Like, he wants to sit here and look passively, and I want to be in the action.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back going, huh, I don't think this is going to last.
No, I didn't think so either.
And senior before that, during high school, that senior, when I was out with my friends, I realized that I just wanted to do me.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to do you, because sometimes in relationships, you have to. Actually, no, you should do you in your relationships.
Very much
so. If you can't take care of yourself, or if you can't, like, you know, love yourself,
how can you love someone else?
Exactly.
You have to know yourself well, but when you're 14, how are you supposed to know yourself when you've grown up into you in a relationship?
Yeah, come on, Allie. I mean, when you were 14, you could barely decide what to wear in the morning.
Oh, that's not true.
I'm kidding.
It was skirts, tank tops.
Wow.
You know.
Yep.
But it was, and then it kind of got, you know, senior year, then I realized that I saw my friends in relationships, and they were actually happy. And they were doing these things, they did things together, and he never wanted to do things with me as much. And a lot of things that he didn't want me to do, I heard from other people that he did. And I just realized he had a double standard, and it wasn't going to work out, but I really wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And things were getting better. And then a 4-year anniversary was coming up. And this was during my first semester at Santa Rosa JC. And
oh, are you going to talk about what I think you're going to talk about?
Yep.
Everyone, this is actually pretty good. This is something that y'all should look for.
The red flags. after the trip in Europe, I was like, oh, maybe some things can change, or maybe we can go do different things and grow together. And, you know, I think it really brought us together mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, but in some ways it didn't.
So wait, how old were you around this time?
18. Just turned 18. And for your anniversary, like, oh, let's go to San Francisco, a nice dinner, and tell my mom, oh, yeah, we're going to go on a nice, we've never had a good date.
Yeah,
like
I was
this.
There when you bought the dress.
Oh, it was a beautiful dress.
I know, I love
red
that dress.
Red silk. Oh, it was stunning. I love that Anyways, dress. And my mom was just, is he going to propose to you? I'm like, no, before I've heard him talk about how he wants to be more serious, and I told him I wasn't ready for that commitment yet, and just didn't, you know, but...
Well, you're only 18 years old. I mean, sure, some 18-year-olds are ready.
I deserved a nice dinner date with my man. We've never done that before. And only 4 years. 4 years. And this is the first time we're going in a nice restaurant.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yep, you got that right. Do you need a Q-tip to clean out your ears?
I might.
But.
What did I hear? It took you 4 years.
I mean, we went to, like, Chinese food and all the places that he liked to do. But anyways, I was a little nervous.
It took you 4 years to have a date with your man?
A real nice date like that? Yes. Mm-hmm.
My head's
I see
to-
that look.
My head's
She's
going to explode.
Like, she's looking at me like, that's insane.
So, keep going.
Anyway, so we go on this really nice date, and this beautiful dress and heels, and, you know, he wasn't really talking that much that night, and I was like, what's going on? I get up to go to the bathroom, and I come back, take up my napkin, and there's a ring.
Oh, boy.
A ring. Not any ring. A ring that was my ideal engagement ring. Pink heart with little diamonds on the side. It was beautiful. A little gaudy, so it was a little big. But the fact that he found something that I was talking about was special. I was just, he got down on one. He's like, Alexandra, would you marry me? And I'm just like, I did not know what to say. And
I actually,
knew.
You know what? When you told me about it, I'm sorry, but I didn't know whether to scream in happiness or cry in sadness. I didn't know. I was like, should I be happy for you? Congratulations.
I didn't know what to say at that point. I was just in shock. And I knew this was like a big moment for him. This is like determining a lot of things. So I felt a lot of pressure.
Well, yeah, that is a huge moment in someone's life.
I felt it'd be embarrassing to say no, but I didn't want to say yes. So what do I say? Maybe. Maybe. Yes. That is not the answer anyone wants to hear.
Well, hey, it's better than a no, but you're right. Maybe it's not.
I took the ring, wore it. A week later, I turned my finger green. After 4 years, that's how much I'm worth? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
for all
this,
all this crap you put me through hell and back, and I get a fake ring. Not that I'm a materialist, but really? Really? Like, that's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
And
yeah, didn't you take that ring to a jeweler?
I tried taking
like,
it to
him. How did you find out that it was fake, regardless of the green ring around your finger?
I told him to return it because I turned my finger green and that I didn't want it. Mm. I didn't want another ring, period.
Mm.
And
so you're just like, I'm not ready to be engaged.
I wasn't. And he goes, oh, it's not that big of a deal. To me, it was a huge deal.
Wow.
And anyways, he took it to, I saw where he took it. He goes, here's the receipt. Go get what you want. Took it to a costume jewelry store. Costume. Mm-hmm.
Okay, ending the awkward silence and moving on to the next question. My head's going to explode, so I need to kind of move on. Oh my God. Okay, so who decided to end it? You or him, and how was that done? And did you guys meet face-to-face, and or, like, was it over the phone, like, the actual breakup? And how did that go down?
Well, after that little proposal moment...
Ring fiasco?
Ring fiasco. Good word.
Thank you.
He just wasn't really behaving as he normally would. As if he was already, like, getting over me, ignored me, and I didn't know what was going on, and I kind of felt like that was going to be it.
Do you think that's because you did not accept his proposal?
Yes. And then he just kept on, he ditched me on several occasions, and just really wasn't communicating as much as we used to.
Wow.
And so one day, day after Christmas, by the way, actually that Christmas I never got him a gift, to be honest. I never bought him anything because I didn't know what was going to happen and I felt that something wasn't going to be right. And so the day after Christmas, he was working, so I called him on his work phone, mm-hmm. where he was working. He went, "So, I haven't heard from you in a few days, and you've been ditching me and ignoring me, so if you want to break up with me, just say so." Mm. And we had a very long phone conversation while I was at my friend's house, and we decided to break up.
So that must have been really hard.
It was hard, but I knew it was the right thing to do, and I wasn't trying to fight it anymore. In the back, it was really hard to hear, but in the back of my mind, I knew it was a thing to do, and I didn't have the courage or the balls to really say anything.
You didn't have the guts.
To start the conversation, exactly.
You didn't have the guts, so okay. So, So I already said that a lot of women every day find themselves in very abusive and controlling relationships. So from what, based on your experiences with this dude, with this guy, what would you say are some of the signs to look for?
Because
there are a lot of them.
There are. It's really important to look for red flags,
like
as I call them.
Like, I don't know, your boyfriend giving you a ring from a costume jewelry?
Well, that's not exactly a red flag, but that's down the line. But in the beginning, early stages of a forming of a relationship, the honeymoon period, I should say, things to watch out for is someone that gets extremely jealous and overreacts over little things, and how comfortable they are around your friends and your family. And that's definitely a really big one, because if they're insecure or not certain, there's probably some strain that they're comparing themselves to and that they're not comfortable with. Some other red flags. It's different for every person. But if someone's trying to control you and then doing the exact opposite, that's also a huge red flag. They could probably be covering up their own promiscuity or their own things. Mm-hmm. Not sure, but there's a lot of other things that I to look for. And as of my other relationship after that, I picked up on the signs a lot more clearly because I've seen them before.
And also some of the signs are, some of the signs are your partner makes you feel stupid, or they put you down, they try to manipulate you into doing stuff that you would never do, you don't want to do, they look through your personal belongings, such as your phone, or your email, or your computer, like whatever, without your permission.
Or they try to change you, or change the way you look.
They try to control how you dress.
Those are things you better definitely watch out for. And another thing would be... Never mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
Save that for later.
All right, we'll save that for later. So, earlier in my show, I talked about breakups and how to heal from them. So, you went out with your first boyfriend for 4 years, right?
Yep.
4 years. So, obviously, the breakup must have been pretty hard.
Pretty painful.
So, also, everybody has their own way of dealing with the breakup, healing. So, what was your way to do it? And, what kind of stuff did you do to help you get over him?
Well, I cried. I cried a lot. I especially cried with some Ben and Jerry's fish food into a romantic comedy, which don't ever do that, especially The Notebook. It's very painful. Don't ever watch The Notebook when you're in a breakup. It's just never a good idea.
No, actually, I can vouch for that.
Unless if you need a good cry, because you need to cry.
Well, yeah, then it's perfect. But other than that, do not watch The Notebook during a break.
No, I suffered. I suffered.
That movie was so sad.
I know. And it's funny because her name is Allie and I'm Allie. And that actually is pretty interesting because that relationship dynamic is kind of like how it was with my first boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Me, Allie, and him. I forgot what his name was in the movie. But that's kind of how it was mm-hmm. for part of it. To help me heal, well, I was single for the first time in 4 years, or single, actually knowing what single means, and I was finally in college, and I decided to make a big change in my life, because when I'm going through a painful thing, it's nice and it's good to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, no, it is.
So I decided to enroll my classes at the Santa Rosa campus instead of the Petaluma campus to get new people, new environment, and everything else. And there was a lot of cute boys there. And I kind of wanted all their attention.
God.
I mean, I was trying to fill a hole that...
You're trying to fill a void.
Yeah, that was there for 4 years that I no longer had. But... when I started engaging in my class discussions and hearing what these guys had to say, I just wanted to get to know them. Mm-hmm. Burying my head in school was definitely a good thing. It distracted me from everything that I was feeling, and it made me feel better about myself because I was getting good grades. Mm. I also had really good friends like you and other friends to go out with, and... that also really helps.
Just have fun.
As weird as this is to say, after a 4-year relationship, it really only took 3 months to feel normal.
Wow.
But it took 2 years to recover through the whole thing.
Wow. So did you still keep in contact with him? And if so, like, how long? And did you still want to be friends with him despite all that happened? Or were you just like, no?
Interesting question. Let's see. Well, the first, like, month we didn't... at the first month we didn't really, talk at all, and I guess I tried to keep trying to get contact with him, but he kept on denying me or not answering my calls or being really rude in my text messages. And eventually, after a month or two of not talking, I finally said, you know what? Here, can you meet me? And we just had some closure. And having the closure really helped, like, close my ideas and thoughts of the relationship and really validating this. I really don't want to be with this guy. I don't need him in my life. He's already talking about this new girl.
Wow.
That he's head over heels for, which I actually know who she is.
That was fast.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well... obviously, it wasn't in the stars.
And actually, now that I remember it, nobody liked him for that.
No.
Because I remember, like, all your friends, including me, were just like, wait a minute, like, you guys just got out of a relationship, and he's already moving on to another girl. Like, are you kidding me? It's like, okay, so it's fine if you moved... okay, look, there's nothing wrong with moving on. You know, everyone moves on at their own pace. But it's like, can you at least grant your ex some courtesy... and not mention that, like, right, pretty much right after the breakup.
Yeah, that was a little hard. But after that, I knew, I'm like, okay, I'm done. It's time for me to get that out of my head, not try to have contact with him anymore. And after getting closure, I did not want to be friends with him.
Wow.
I was really hurt, and I had a lot of anger towards him for a lot of things that he's done, and to really get over it, I needed to tuck him away and move forward, because I had a lot of things happening for me. My future was bright being in school, and that was that.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. This is DJ Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line. When we get back, more from Allie. Never knew no good from bad, but I knew life before I left my nursery. Left alone with Big Fat Fanny, she was such a naughty nanny. Hit a big boomer, you made a bad boy out of me. That's right.
Well, I've been singing with my babe across the wire, cause now I see everybody why I flew to the other way. But their beauty and their style went kind of smooth after a while. Take me to them journey leaders every time. Oh, won't you take me home tonight? Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, and you give it all you got. Bad bottom girls, you make the rocket world go round. Bad bottom girls, you make the rocket world go round. You know, they do, they so good. In my bones, ain't no beauty queen, and there's no comedy. Yeah, but I still get my pleasure, I still get my greatest strength.
We're back with more Drawing the Line and with more Allie. So,
woohoo!
So, Allie, like in a few minutes, like a few seconds, I'm going to ask you about your second relationship. But, so getting over this relationship, do you, like, did you have any resentment towards man number one?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I resented the fact that it kind of destroyed a lot of my friendships and the times that I could have had in high school. I kind of resent the fact that I never had the high school quotes, quote unquote, high school experience. I mean, some people may say you didn't miss out. Some people would say you missed out. Some people are like, screw high school. But what I mean by high school experience is having good friends and enjoying yourself and dating and figuring it out rather than coming on so strong. Mm-hmm. I was basically like married to him in a small way.
Can you please not say that word?
Well, but okay, maybe not like that.
Well, you practically were.
It was like we were playing house. You know, we were in our teens, acting like we were in our 20s, 30s, even. I feel like I've lived through the tailor end of the relationships first.
Wow.
Which is actually kind of funny, as my mom says.
Well, you know, it's very common to feel resentment towards someone who hurt you in that way. But, you know, you also have to realize, and I'm sure you do, that, you know, you eventually do have to completely move on and, like, you know, forgive the person. And no, not in the sense of, oh yeah, I forgive you, I want to be with you, but just in the sense of, like, I forgive you, but I don't want you in my life, you know?
I had that about,
because, you know, breakups happen for a reason.
Yes, they do, and they are your ex for a good reason. In this case, more than one ways. But I think I had my realization of, okay, I can move forward and put this past, and I found out he got married, let's see, when I was like 19, and I still remembered his cell phone number, so I gave him a call and called him to congratulate him on his marriage and the kid and all that kind of stuff, and we talked for a good, like, hour, and I actually got an apology from him saying, you know, I'm sorry, things were kind of bad in our relationship, and I shouldn't have controlled you, especially with your clothes, because looking back on it, it's kind of ridiculous, and
wow,
I feel bad, but that still doesn't fly mustard with me. I still want him, like, on his knees begging, like, oh my god, baby, forgive me, kind of a thing, because it was so dramatic for me. But at least,
but it's not like you didn't appreciate that, because that did take a lot of guts on his part, because remember how he was. That boy was stubborn, like a stubborn as an ox.
Yeah, and it felt nice to have that apology and to go, okay, we were young and stupid and in love, which I think will be the title of my new book, if I ever write a book.
But you know what? What's done is done.
Exactly. And it really helped push everything aside and be like, okay, another phase. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Yep. So, anyway, so how long was it before you met man number two? And, like, what drew you to him?
Very interesting story.
Oh, boy. And
well, man number two, I just got back from studying abroad in Spain for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 19 and came back and was a little bummed out that I wasn't 21. Let's just say that. And I finally...
I think I was 21 at that time. Or was maybe. I?
No.
Or maybe. Well, I'm like 5 months older than you. Oh, well, who cares?
I was
cares?
19. Anyways, wait, I was 20. So I met this guy at a party, and we hit it off, and we were talking. He had a girlfriend. She gave me the death glare. I didn't know that that was his girlfriend until later, until my friend told me afterwards that I was flirting with someone else's boyfriend.
And you were like, oops.
Like, that was, I'm like, that person, that woman just gave me the evil eye. I've never had a glare like that in my life.
Like, what was it like?
Like, very, I'm going to kill you. I didn't know that was, I didn't put the pieces together. Anyways, they broke up and we started dating. And I was really drawn to him because I just wanted to go out and have fun and have someone that I can party with and be close to and have a good relationship with. And he was that type of person that loved to go out and was social and had a fun time doing that. And someone I trusted enough to be able to watch out after each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I never had in the previous relationship. Before in high school, that guy and I never went out and did things together. Like, and partied and had fun. And so I was so attracted to this whole idea of, let's just go anywhere and do anything and just take it things step by step.
Yeah, and you know what? Both of these two relationships of yours, these two pretty, pretty big relationships, I mean, I'd say that they were both significant moments in your life.
They very were, because the first one in high school was my first love, or first everything. And mm-hmm. This guy...
I think I would say more so true love than actual just love. Mm-hmm. I was really drawn to, he was very quirky.
Oh, that's always fun.
Which I love. I think is great. Also, bad boy persona, tattoos, piercings, the whole thing that I just like, ha, over. But as I've learned over my life, bad boys aren't really that good. But it was, we dated for 3 years, and we had fun, but then halfway through, I started picking up a lot of signs where I'm like, oh, that's a red flag. Oh, I kind of like, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like this again? And I'm just, oh, that's kind of what happened before. Mm-hmm. And then it's happening in a whole different way.
So you're able to pick up on it more.
I was able to pick up on it more.
But So basically at first, like also with like man number two, like he started off as like a pretty, you know, okay guy. Like everything, like your last relationship with man number one, everything started out fine.
Yeah, everything was good until like the 8 month year mark for number two. And everyone's true colors really show. And I didn't believe a lot of things. And I was set on going to college. I was set on transferring to a UC.
You were set on making a life for yourself. You were,
exactly. Because
I already know you. Like, you didn't, like, you wanted a college degree. You wanted an education. You didn't want to be, how do I want to put this? You wanted an education. You wanted opportunities for yourself.
I want to be successful.
You wanted to have so many doors open for you. And I already know for a fact that if you hadn't gone off to UC Santa Cruz, you would have regretted it for the rest of your life.
Oh, I'd be kicking myself in the butt for it.
You would have regretted it.
But, like, my point is that I had a lot of drive to do a lot of things for myself. And him and I
weren't... And that's great.
Him and I weren't on the same level on that aspect.
Again?
Yep. He was great, and he was really supportive. He was kind of like the stay-at-home kind of a dad persona, which I loved because I went to school. I came back. He
without
had dinner
the dad
ready.
Part.
Exactly. He's a good stay-at-home type of partner. And I loved having dinner ready. I had, you know, everything was all set. He took care of everything, and it was really nice. But little did I know, there was, since I was almost basically living at his house.
So I guess you... I guess, I don't know, I guess it wasn't like he wasn't completely, it's like he wasn't trying at all.
No, he was trying, because we did have a really good energy together.
And I'm sorry, but personally, towards the end of your last relationship with man number one, personally, I think just, like, that's saying a lot.
Yes. And what was I saying before?
Something about dinner and
good
energy.
And then it came time for me to look at colleges. And I was all set on ready to go to a UC. And I looked at a lot of different schools, did a road trip over the summer.
With moi, yours truly. That was a great road trip.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was doing all this adventuring. And he was like, oh, well, why don't you just like go to SF State? Why don't you just go to Sonoma or somewhere close by or local? And at that point, I had my heart set on Seattle University and NYU and UC Santa Barbara, places that weren't so close. And when I found out I got accepted to University of Santa Cruz, I was ecstatic. I was so happy that I got into a good school with a good major. And he just was not happy for me.
Wow.
He wasn't excited to celebrate. Actually, that day we got in one of the biggest fights in our relationship.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He was very wasted, actually. And made me pack all of my things with everyone in the house, all of her friends. Most of her friends in that little neighborhood area. And put them in the garage and go home. And we got in a huge fight. And he's like, oh, I'm going to break up with you right now. We're breaking up. And
yeah, I think I remember that.
He was
like,
not.
I think you might have called me.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. She did.
Oh, I did. Probably couldn't understand me because I was in tears.
No, I couldn't. Actually, I think you came over.
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh.
I went to mom's.
Well, actually, during one of your fights, you did. And I was just like, don't hit the mailbox.
But this was a big one. Because it really showed true colors of how he really wanted me close. And then I realized why he wanted, not just because he loved me, but there was also a lot of financial ties that he was a codependent person.
And I'm sorry, but from what you're describing, it also sounds like there was a lot of possessiveness.
There was possessiveness. He was insecure about me going away to go to school. And that was one other big factor that kind of destroyed a relationship. But another thing was that he was very codependent when I was living with him. Instead of paying rent, I gave him a gift card for Safeway or Whole Foods once a week. Wow. So I paid for groceries, so I wasn't paying for rent. And then he started blowing his money on useless crap. Not that I can tell him what to spend and not spend with.
Well, no, you can't. Well, no, I mean, you can't. So you just said there was like, I mean, you also said that he really relied on you financially, right?
And that's the thing. He used his money to blow on whatever else he wanted and just used that gift card to rely solely on that for his food source. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. And he just blew a lot of money on a lot of things, which he was never able to. That's why we were never able to go out to a nice dinner. We were never able to go out to concerts together. He didn't want to do anything that was too much, and then I was always paying for everything, and it was a real huge dream. And I didn't have a job. I was only off my parents.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they felt a lot of resentment to it too.
My dad was heated when he figured it out. And that was another thing. I made a few dumb decisions and opened up some credit cards in my name for him, and my credit tanked.
That probably, look, you know, we all make mistakes. We all do. You know, I've had financial issues before, so I'm not going to judge you, but I will say that probably wasn't the best idea.
No. And that's when I realized that he doesn't give a crap. He's just going to keep using it and, like, leeching on to me about these things. And I was not okay with it. That's when I realized I'm going off to college to go do good and better things for myself.
And also,
he doesn't have the motivation to get a job, to go to school.
Also, so when did this whole thing really, really, really start tanking?
Well, it started going downhill when I moved to Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of classes. Three classes, but there were 5 units each, and it's a quarter system. It moves very, very fast. 10 weeks. And I was adjusting to having no friends. Didn't know anyone there. Well, I mean, I knew a few people, but I wanted to, like, in the dorm situation. I didn't have that many friends. I didn't, you know, a new school, new system. I haven't written an actual essay, real good essay, in a long time, because at the JCA just did a lot of reflection papers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struggling with transitioning into a UC system. And I was having new friends, and I was talking to him about my friends and my new guy friends and my new girlfriends, and he thought I was cheating on him with my guy friends.
Wow.
And I told him, hey, you really want to know? Why don't you come over and visit me and find out? No, you come over and visit me. You know, he wanted me to come visit him all the time, and I couldn't do that. I needed to be where I was. And that was hard for me. And just because I couldn't visit him, and I ended up not having enough time for him, and he decided to fight with me every time I had, like, a midterm.
And your grades started tanking.
And I've forgotten about some of my midterms before. I couldn't finish one of my finals all the way through.
Because some of the fights you had just got you so upset.
I don't even know what to say. I was up all night. I couldn't do anything. I was just so depressed after everything. And then I realized I was on academic probation after my first quarter.
Wow.
And I was really afraid to go home and tell my parents about my grades.
I can understand that. But so we only have like a few minutes left. So during these last couple minutes, is there anything you would like to say to young women and guys in general on like advice for relationships? Do you have anything to say to them?
I do. I have a lot of advice. Well, people need to understand like what they're to work on themselves first, and they need to know themselves and how they are. And when you meet someone, if someone's not on the same level, a vibe and energy wise, if they don't have the same drive, or if they don't, then it doesn't work. And it's just, you just have to pick up, you know what you want and be doing yourself. And if someone's not on the same page, then that's fine. But maybe you be friends with them, but you don't date them. And it's really important to have a lot of stuff in common rather than opposites attracting. Yes, they do attract, but it works better when you are with someone that is more like you. It doesn't work if someone's an introvert and other people are extroverts, for example. So just know yourself and know what you want, and then to follow your dreams, and then to meet someone that is on your same page. That's what it takes to have a healthy relationship. That's where you have communication.
Communication is very, very important.
And no one feels neglected or resentment or left out or that they can't express. So it's very important to recognize those red flags and to find someone else that's better for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the time that we have, folks. I'd like to give a great big thank you to Allie. Thank you so, so much for coming on here.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Oh, jeez. And, you know, being on my show.
Thank you.
So, what do you say? We grab maybe a coffee or a bite to eat after this?
Of course.
All right. And I'd also like to say that I had a great time talking to everybody. This is my last show of this semester.
Aw, tear.
Big tears. But, I'm actually really sad because I really had such a great time talking to everybody and giving advice. Even though there are probably a lot
of advice is really key. Just the best advice I can give to anyone, whether about relationships or life, is stay true to yourself and know who you are and take time to figure out who you are before you commit to anything serious.
Exactly.
Parents, jobs, relationships. Boyfriends,
whatever. Just take time to commit to yourself.
Communication.
What she said. But anyway, even though this is my last show this semester, I'm thinking of coming back and doing it all over again. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Drink lots of Starbucks. Don't get too drunk on Thanksgiving. But most of all, I hope the advice I gave to people, and you know, this episode as well. Yeah, happy holidays as well. Thank you, Allie. This episode as well really helped people out. And yeah, have a great afternoon, everybody. I'm going to miss you guys.